Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. I'm so thankful for just the opportunity to come and share the Word of God. We are still in the book of Genesis, and we're going to be there for a little while. But anyway, we're going to talk about chapters 4 through 7 with me today. And so I'm so thankful for just this time and opportunity just to be able to share the Word of God. So we'll just start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for mercy and we thank you for grace. God, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, just to touch each and every one under the sound of my voice, those that were on the Blog Talk Radio, and those that will review it later. But God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch. Lord, there's so much going on in the world today. There's been so much unrest, so many things that are going on. People don't understand. People are afraid. People are scared. People don't know what to think right now, Lord. But God, we know that you're able because you are the sovereign God. Hallelujah. And we're so thankful that you're sovereign. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are omnipotent. All power belongs to you. You're omniscient, Lord. You're all seeing. You're all knowing. We thank you, God. Ha, yokodobosh. Oh, God, we glorify you and we call on your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, a name that answers every need, God, everything, Lord. We thank you. You're so merciful and you're so kind and you're so gracious to us, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, that you are our light and our salvation, God, that you are our refuge and our strength and our very present help in the time of trouble. God, I ask you to bless all of those, Lord Jesus, that are needing healing, oh God. They need healing, Lord Jesus, they're sick. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that we send in your word to each and every person. This is by your stripes we are healed. Oh God, we thank you for healing their bodies. We thank you, Lord, for you allowing your healing virtue to flow through them, through your body, through them, to them, Lord, as it did with the woman with the issue of blood. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just as you told the centurion soldier told you, Lord, you ain't got to come. You don't have to come, but just send the word. And that very hour they were made whole, that his servant was made whole. But, Lord, we thank you for making people whole right this very moment. In the name of Jesus, glory to God, we thank you. And we believe you can do it, Lord. Let your healing touch, hallelujah. Oh, God, begin to touch each and every one, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, you have so many requests for prayer today on social media, Lord. We just ask you to touch each family. Yes, shandalabasta. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to move mightily on their behalf, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, the water's troubled, Lord. Let them come into the water and be healed. Oh, God, we thank you, just like you did with the paralyzed man. At the pool of Bethesda. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to heal, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless those that need financial miracles, Lord. Some people didn't even get the stimulus check. They're saying that they can use it as a credit. But, God, they may have needed it, Lord. So, Lord, meet the need. Make the difference up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, just like you did when they had to pay the taxes, oh, God, and Jesus told them to go down to the brook and look in the fish's mouth, and there the money was to be able to pay fees. So, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless a miracle, hallelujah, to come in somebody's life. They need it, Lord. Hallelujah, it's an emergency, God. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for meeting the need and supplying the blessing, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our provider. Hallelujah. Thank you for being our peace, oh God, those that war for us. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Shandara Alabasha. Glory to God. Lord, we ask you to bless those that have lost loved ones, God. Lord, we lost a dear friend today ourselves, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to bless Shirlane's family, Lord. Bless her son and her daughter-in-law, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Comfort them as only you can. Bless her, those friends that are closer to her, like Elder Russell. Lord, bless them as only you can, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for comforting, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All of those that have lost someone, oh, God, so dear. We just ask you, Lord, to bless. Hallelujah. People are still grieving. Hallelujah. Help them through the grieving process, God. Comfort them and keep them as long as you can, Father. Lord, we thank you for the men and women of God all over this country and all over this world that poured the gospel out this morning, that they've ministered to many people, Father. Pour back into them. Bless my pastor, Father, and our church family over this, Father. Lord, I ask you to bless, Father. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every pastor, oh God. Lord, each and every one, Father, in the name of Jesus and their families, God. Lord, we thank you for our campus pastors and their families, God, and those churches and those ministries, God. Lord, we thank you for so much, God, because you've been so good. Lord, when I think back over my life, hallelujah, I have to give you the glory because I have to thank you for all that you have done. Hallelujah. You've been a good Father. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the years you took it up when my father died, God, but you stepped right in. Oh, God, and you sent those to help me that needed that were in my life. I thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, for strengthening me. Hallelujah, when I was young, to be able to take care of my mother, Lord, and take care of that. I pray for caretakers right now today, Lord, those that are taking care of loved ones, God, because they are sick, Lord Jesus, or they have dementia, they have Alzheimer's, they have something that's going on, and they are taking care of. Bless those people. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and strengthen them, God. They need strengthening. They need peace, and they need joy, God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Give them the strength they need for this journey, God. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet them in a mighty way, Father. Lord, we thank you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping our children, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, blessing their minds, oh, God. Hallelujah. They've never been through anything like this. None of us have. But, Lord, keep them, Lord. Bless those that are losing loved ones to suicide, God. We rebuke that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. But, God, we ask you to touch those families, Lord, and comfort them as only you can. Oh, Lord, we need you, God. Lord, we need you. Hallelujah. Oh, we need you, God. Hallelujah. Direct us and guide us as I remember. And, Lord, let us lead and guide us, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you get in there, oh, we glorify you, God. Jesus, we're calling on your name. Lord, we need you. We're crying out to thee, God. Oh, Lord, we need you, Lord Jesus, to stop the plague, just like you did when David, how they had numbered the people, and you sent the plague, but, Lord, then you had mercy. Oh, God, they are not shot. Have mercy on us, God. Yeah, get in there, oh, God, we glorify you. Yeah, get in there, oh, bless my family. Cover them with your blood. Bless the families of all of those that understand my voice. Bless their families, God. Cover them with your blood, Lord. In the name of Jesus, continue to bless, hallelujah, in the passing of this sister, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to comfort as only you can. And, Lord, we know that her life was a celebration with God. We ask you to bless. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, to bless our soldiers, God, all over this world, God, wherever they're stationed. Bless them, Father. Keep them, Lord. Give them a spirit of discernment, God, that they'll be able to discern the enemy all around about them. They won't be sabotaged. They won't be overtaken, Lord. They won't be hoodwinked. They won't, God, because you have given them a divine discernment to be able to discern what's going on around them. Oh, God, we ask you to bless this inauguration that's going on the 20th, oh, God. We speak peace. We rebuke the plan of the enemy. We rebuke the mind of that person that is caught thinking to do something evil. Oh, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. Oh, God. And God, we claim victory, Lord. It will not be any loss. Oh, God, the loved ones of those families that were lost on January the 6th. Bless those families, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Comfort and keep them as you can. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, bless our National Guard, Father, who is posted, God. Hallelujah. Bless them and keep them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. but as police officers all over this land and country, oh God. Oh God, touch them. Bless those our first responders, those our medical staff, Lord, and our healthcare staff, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. Thank you for those that have been kind to people that may not have been able to see their families, but they got to see their faces and they were kind to them. Oh God, we thank you for them. Touch them. As only you can. Bless their families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that have lost jobs, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, go to the Ashataya. Oh, go to the Lord. Bless our homeless, oh God, and those that are hungry, Father. Feed them and cover them and shelter, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, we thank you. Lord, touch the hearts of people. Their hearts will be turned towards thee, oh God. And, Lord, that this racism, this evil, these evil thoughts and all of this stuff, God, will come down in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify you. Oh, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, every plot of the enemy is canceled in the name of Jesus. Our nation's capital and our capitals of each state will be safe in the name of Jesus. Hey, glory. Every famine of the enemy, the blood of Jesus is against you. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you, hallelujah, that is watching online. Lord, we thank you. Oh, thank you for each and every one of you. Hi, Stacy, to Stacy and hi, Loretta, and all of those that are on here that I can't see right now. But I just thank God, hallelujah, for the opportunity, hallelujah, to be able to share the word of God. Now, we're talking about, let me get my computer back on. We're talking about, we're in the book of Genesis still. How you been? Praise the Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, we got so much to pray for. We don't have time to be doing nothing else. We got to pray. This week, we got to really pray. We got to pray for the safety of this nation, for the safety of the people, Lord Jesus, the incoming president and vice president. And we got to continue to pray for the one that's going, the president that's going out. We need the hearts of people to change. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. We need the hearts of the people to change, God. Hallelujah. Let them have a heart toward thee, Father. Oh, Lord, we glorify you and we magnify you because you're so worthy. Oh, God, we thank you. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because I feel like we can talk about that, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But anyway, we were reading in the book of, we started with the chapter 4 today, and we were talking about, we're starting to talk about the first family is what we're doing, the first family, and we're going to talk about the first family and all that God did. I'm trying to get this book. Things up. I had them up and then my computer went down. Okay, it went black. Anyway, so here we are. We are talking about, I was excited about this. You know, I like to learn facts and fit facts and stuff. So anyway, that's me. But anyway, let me do a short recap of last week. Last week we talked about the fall of man and we talked about the promise of redemption. We talked about that. And I saw this, I think it was in my Daily Bible, and it said seven steps to man's fall. One of the steps was doubt of God's word. And so that's Genesis 3:1. So, you know, we have to even ourselves be careful that we don't doubt the word of God. What God says, one thing he says about his word, he said his word will not return unto him void. And so we got to understand that when God speaks, it shall be done, period. That's it. When he formed the world, he said, and God said, and it was done. So we got to realize that that's what kind of God we're serving, and that's what we're living under. We're living under a God that is able to do those types of things for us. Yeah. I think that can be better. Okay. So anyway, so that's what we gotta remember that. And so then what happens, what happened is they said, what else was the problem that was a part of the steps that the fall of man happened? It said the misquoting of the word of God. When the serpent was talking to her and she said, well, God said we can't eat or touch it. And so when she said touch it, he knew that she did not know fully the word of God. And so when we think about that, just that little bit right there, we know that how important it is for us to know the word of God, that we have to know the word of God for ourselves. I know we enjoy the preaching. I know we enjoy the evangelism, and we enjoy all that. But each of us are responsible for knowing what God's word is saying. And so that's the point of what we're doing here. We're going through the word of God. But the thing about it is each of us have to study. Each of us have to read the word of God. Each of us have to digest the word of God so that when the enemy does come, that we are not deceived by what he's saying. Because if Eve had known that she could touch it and she could touch it and it'd be okay, but she couldn't eat it, that was the commandment. But when she said that, the enemy began to put his plan in place and began to want to confuse her. He was contradicting the word of God. When we contradict the word of God, that is a step in us fall in the fall of man. And then the misinterpretation of the word of God. We got to be careful of that. We got to be careful of the temptation to transgress against God's word. Now, if we think about the word of God and the power that it holds, because we think about Jesus. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, as he was in the wilderness, he had fasted 40 days, here come the enemy. And the first thing Jesus said unto him was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we know the importance of the word of God and how we have to know exactly what it is. And so let's look briefly at what man lost in the fall. It said he lost spiritual, he lost physical, and he lost eternal life. That's what he lost. And then it says he lost the ability to communion with God. He lost that. He lost the fellowship that he had in the garden. You know, the garden was this wonderful place, and so he lost that. He lost his full dominion over all things because God had given him dominion over all things. He also lost the perfect good consciousness that he had. He lost the full power to do good. He lost the perfect self-control. He lost the right that he had of the tree of life. And so, and he lost all that. He lost all of those different things. He lost his place in the Garden of Eden. He lost God's glory. He lost the righteousness and true holiness. He lost all benefits of a perfect union with God. And then he lost perfect health, because then once he had committed that sin, then the deterioration. Even though they lived a long time, still the body began to deteriorate. And so then death, physical death, was coming. But in that very moment, that was a spiritual death when they ate of the tree, when God told them not to. They lost spiritually. Because you remember that God created man in his image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. So when he created them, he created his spiritual and his soulish man and the soul of man. He created those things at that time, and then over in chapter 2, he began to form man out of the dust of the earth. So God created us, and then he formed us. So he did all of those things. And so we were like his apple. We were the apple of his eye. We were his pride and joy. We were the culmination of his creation. And so we got to, you know, we were that for him. But then when we fell, we lost our place with God. And so then the Bible tells us that we were all born into sin and shaping in iniquity. And so that's how that comes about, because of that one fall. And so then, of course, but then, you know, they weren't. And so then God began to bring judgment upon it. So he cursed the serpent. He told the serpent that you would start to eat the dust, and you would be on your belly the rest of your life. And so, you know, he cursed him. He cursed the woman and told her she would have to begin to bear a child, have pain in childbirth, and those types of things. And then he also, you know, he put them out of the garden and all of those things. So it was a lot of things. There was a lot of curses in that time. I think it was six great curses of creation on creation because of the fall of man. And so then, so we brings us to the beginning of family life. And because of the fall of man, it started because we had, it said that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and this is Genesis 4, and this is, we're in verse 4, 1 through 7 for right now, and it said, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his other brother, Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the ground. And so then, and I'm going to read this part, and then it says, in the process of time, he came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat of thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Why? Because Abel bought a blood sacrifice. Cain just bought, this is what I got, I'm bringing this right here. And so how many times do we give God a Cain offering? Have we thought about that? How many times do we give God a Cain offering and not the offering that God, and not what God is wanting from us, but we give him what we want to give? And that's what we can't, that's the one thing we can't do. We have to bring God what he wants and not what we want. That's the difference. Because when it comes to prayer time, we want God to give us what we want, right? And not what, you know, somebody else might want for us. But we want the things that we are praying for. We want him to fully grant us the thing that we pray for. So if God, we want God to fully grant to us the things that we pray for, then we got to understand that we need to give God what he wants. And so the problem was, and so first when I used to read this, I was wondering, I said, well, did Cain know what to bring? Did he know that he needed to give a blood sacrifice? And he did. They already knew that God had already made the first sacrifice when he clothed Adam and Eve. Remember, he killed an animal. He sacrificed the animal so that he could get the skins to be able to clothe them, because now they knew they were naked. And so they had fig leaves on, but he knew the leaves wasn't gonna stand. But he knew the skin of the animal would last. And so he clothed them with that. And so I believe that Cain did know what he was supposed to do, but he decided to do what he wanted to. And when that wasn't received, then he got a jealous spirit. That's how sometimes it is today. We want to do what we want to do instead of what God is wanting us to do or what he's purposed and destined for us to do. And then when it don't go like we want, then we're looking at somebody else because we see them going on and things are prospering for them. Then we get an attitude about their prosperity because we haven't done our part to be able to do what we're supposed to do. And so then we get a jealous spirit. But this jealousy took it to a whole different level because, and then what it says, and Abel, he also brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And God and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So, you know, he started acting a fool because, you know, he wasn't getting his way. And then it says, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be this desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So this is the thing. Because he was jealous of his brother, because his brother was his gift was accepted, so then he said, no, I'm rising. He rose up against him. And then it said, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, then he got smart. You know, he got a little smart spirit. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, you know, he probably said it with an attitude. We know he said it with an attitude. Because that sounds like an attitude statement. Don't it sound like an attitude statement like, am I my brother's keeper? You know how I can go. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So this is the thing. What he committed the first murder. So that was the thing. So see what all's been going on since the beginning. So the stuff we see in the day ain't new news. It's just it's stuff that has been going on since the beginning. Dave Cain was the first one to commit murder, and because of that, he was punished severely. It wasn't no light thing, and so here's his curse right here, and it says, now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. Now, you know, Abel was a type and shadow of Christ, so he was one of another type and shadow of Christ because the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, is what redeemed us. And so here was the blood of Abel, and it was crying out from the ground. It was crying out from the ground. It was speaking, even though it was on the ground. It was speaking. So the blood, he said here, the blood of his brother, the voice of his brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And you know, God, I didn't think about what Bishop was preaching this morning. He said we got to cry out unto the Lord. And I always think about the Hebrews, when they cried unto the Lord, God heard them, and then he began to put a plan in place. So here we are again. Somebody's crying, and God already got the plan of redemption in place. So we got to be comforted just to know that he has not left us uncovered. Hallelujah. He got us covered by the blood. Glory to God. And so we are covered. So anyway, I got that out. That's what I got out of that right there. But anyway, I'm going on. And so then, so we got Cain with all his stuff, and so he was cursed. And it says that when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth. I mean, this is saying, you know, he was a tiller of the ground. But God said, no more. It's not going to yield you anything because of what you have done. It's not going to yield. He said, you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond, and you're going to be hunted. And his punishment, and Cain said, your punishment is greater than I can bear. And so he left the presence of the Lord. It is something that every time they done something wrong, they went running from the presence of the Lord when the presence of the Lord was the only thing that could help them. Are we running from the presence of the Lord when we do stuff that's not right? We can't run from the presence. The presence is the only thing that can help us. And so we need to be in the presence of the Lord. Healing can take place in the presence of the Lord. Deliverance can take place in the presence of the Lord. He can change your heart in the presence of the Lord. So we don't need to run from it. We need to run to it. But because of the sin nature that he had, and because of the sin, he went running from the presence of the Lord. Oh, my God. And so then you had even his son, I think it was Lamech, that he even killed too. So he even said himself, he said, my punishment is going to be even greater than Cain's punishment. So all of that's going on, and so it was just so much. And then I want to talk about the birth of Seth, because here we go. It says, and this is in 4:25, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed unto me another seed instead of Abel that came through. And so that's what God said. He said, she has appointed unto me another seed that came through. And so he was able to. And then it said that Seth had Enosh, that's what it was, I get it right, Enosh, and then men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. And so, and he said God had appointed unto her another seed like Abel. He had appointed unto her another seed like Abel when she had Seth. And so then the Bible says, and I'll read it right quick, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So she appointed him another seed as unto Abel, I mean another seed. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. It's Enosh. I think it's E-N-O-S in one translation, but Enosh. And then, because it added S-H on it. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And so then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So they were getting back to a place with God. But still sin was all around them at that time. And so then, you know, after that, and then I want to go through the lineage just a little bit. I found it very interesting myself. And so that's why I want to talk about it. And so we were talking about those things. But I do want to talk about So we had Seth, and then, of course, Seth had Enosh, and then Enosh had Canaan, and then Canaan had Mahalalel. That's how I pronounce it. I had to go over and get that pronunciation. And then from Mahalalel had Jared, and then Jared had Methuselah. No, Jared had Enoch, and, of course, we know Enoch lived 365 years, and then the Lord took him because he walked with the Lord. Isn't that something? And then sometimes people think that Enoch really got the short end of the deal because out of all of him, he lived physically the least amount of years, but spiritually he lived the rest of his life in eternal life. So he outlived all of them, really. And so then Enoch had Methuselah, and then Methuselah had Lamech, and then Lamech had Noah. But what I want to talk about is just this for a minute, because I kind of put a little chart together myself. And so I was excited about all this, and so I was just thinking about it, and from the perspective of, you know, when they were so all of these people were born, and this is the genealogy from Adam all the way to Noah, and so they lived so many years, and so. But anyway, I made note of this, that when Noah was born, no, Adam died at 930 years. And so after Adam had died, but Adam got to see eight generations. He saw Seth born, he saw Enosh born, he saw Canaan born, he saw Mahalalel born, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and even Lamech. And then he died. So he died before Noah was born. But he saw all of those generations. And so that is eight generations. He was still alive when all that was going on. And then the same with Seth. Now, Seth died after Noah was born. So he got to see Noah come about and all of that, and then the same with all the rest of them. And then, of course, Methuselah had Lamech, which was Noah's father, but Lamech died before his grandfather died. And but Noah was born, and so Noah had a lot of, you know, we talk about grief, even during that time there was a lot of grief going on. Because if I think about Noah was born, but then he saw Seth die, he saw Enosh die, he saw Canaan die, he saw Mahalalel die, he saw Jared die, and these were all his great-great-great-great-grandfathers, you know, great-great-great-great, all up to eight generations. And then when he saw his father die, and then his grandfather was the last one to die, and then when his grandfather died, then the flood waters came. And so that was just kind of just some, you know, news for that. I thought it was interesting. But then this is what I kind of got tripped up on this week when I was studying. Because then at 500, Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? And so I said, well, was it triplets? Because it really did not, the Bible really didn't note at that time that there was a separation in the birth, right? It just said Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so I started researching. I said, well, were they triplets? Because, you know, it wasn't uncommon for multiple births to happen, because we had Jacob and Esau and some other twins that came out along the way. But I did find out. So I said, well, who was the oldest? Was Shem the oldest? Because they always mention Shem. They mention him first. And the reason why he is mentioned is because he is the lineage that Abraham came out of, and then eventually the lineage where Jesus Christ came out of. So you had all of that right there coming, you know, that lineage. And so that's why they mention him, because they usually mention in the Bible the lineage where Jesus would come through. And so that's what Shem was. But Shem was not the oldest. Japheth was the oldest, because Shem, it talks about Shem as being the one that had Arphaxad. And so Arphaxad, he said he had him 2 years after the flood was born, and he was 100. So he couldn't have been born when Noah was 500, because he became 100 2 years after the flood. So he had to be around 98, 97, 98 when he went into the ark. And so that means that probably Japheth was the oldest, because it is noted that Ham is the younger son. And so that's how I guess it was, but they were probably born within that time, in a short time period, maybe back-to-back or something like that, I don't know. Because it really doesn't notate that, but it does note that when Arphaxad was born, that Shem was 100. And so it does give us that much information, the Bible does. And so then, so when we were, praise the Lord, Lou, praise the Lord, Michael Terry, praise the Lord, Phyllis Dodson, all those that joined me. So then when that, I just thought it was something. I was really intrigued by that. I was like, wow, were they quite triplets? So anyway, it was fun for me to research that. So I was tickled about that. But all of those generations were around when, you know, all of this stuff was going on, because the Bible tells you, says that they had other sons and daughters, but they only list this lineage right here, because this lineage will lead to Noah, and then it will lead to Noah's descendants, which will lead to Jesus Christ. And so that's how those generations, you know, they always broke it down in 14 generations. If we go to the book of Matthew and read the genealogy there, it talks about from one to one is 14 generations, from David to Jesus Christ is 14 generations. You know, it talks about that. And so that those are the things that are just some important factors, you know, to know about those things. I thought they were important facts, you know. But anyway, and they lived a very long time. But then I thought about, what I began to think about is Noah and, probably getting way ahead of myself. Okay. So I think about Noah all those that time. So Noah began to build the ark, and we're going to talk about this because the man had gotten really wicked. They were just doing too much. And it says that it came to pass, and this is in the sixth chapter, it says, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born, it says, daughters were born unto them, and that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. And so it was kind of like after the flood, then, really, well, not after the flood, because Moses lived another 350 years after the flood himself. But then, as I guess when it got to around about to Abraham or something like that, then you begin to see the length of time where they lived begin to shorten, because even Abraham only lived like 175 years, and then he died. And so things begin to, the time period, the timing or the length of years that people were living began to shorten. And so, but before that, they were still living when Noah, when, like I said, when Noah came out, he was 500 when he got the commandment to begin to build the ark. And then he was 600 when the flood came. And so when he came out of the ark, he was 601. Because they were in the ark for some time. Because even though the rain was upon the earth 150 days, it took a while for the rain to dissipate and so that they would be able to come out of the ark. And so I think at that point they had been in there quite some time. And can you imagine being in a place with all those animals and all that going on? You know what I'm saying? Just a whole lot going on. But God was faithful to them, and he kept them. He kept all of that going. And then if you think, when I was really thinking about it, and I was thinking, I probably do need to go down here. And it talks about the generations of Noah, and God's plan to destroy the wicked. Okay, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great. And let me before I read that, but let me go back to the sons of God. Now, you have in reading that or studying that, you have two things. Some people say that it wasn't the angels. They say it was they call them Nephilims, I think, and these people were like 8 and 9 foot tall or whatever like that. But a lot of people say that a lot of the historians, fallen angels, that saw the daughters of men, and then they began to mate. You know, they began to come together and have children, and then these children were these giants, right? And so that's what the common, I think, the historians are saying that's what that is. But then I saw something right before I got on that may have said something different. But I think I'm gonna go with the other story because I think that sounds more true to me. But anyway, and so then so much corruption on the earth, and so then the Lord began to tell Noah, because Noah was an upright man. He was just. He was an upright man, and so God gave him this assignment to build the ark. And so Noah was obedient to that assignment. How many times has God given us assignment? Are we obedient? Are we walking in obedience when it comes to our assignment that God has given us? I always tell people, you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, wherever you are, whether it's on your job, whether it's at school, whether it's, you know, wherever you are on assignment. You have an assignment. And a lot of times we're at work and we're upset with our bosses and things like that because they cutting up. And, you know, it depends on what's going on in their life. You know, we don't know. And so sometimes we think they're against us. And they are acting like they're against us. But it's not our assignment to take on a battle to fight them. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we are there to pray. We got to ask God, Lord, why am I here? What is my purpose for being on this job besides making money? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we're on assignment, and we are kingdom citizens. We are kingdom. We are God's children, and so we are not without assignment. The Bible said, you know, in Matthew 28, told us to go into all the world and preach the peace of gospel, and we are to compel men to come. So we are always on that assignment. If you are a baptized believer, you are on that assignment to compel men to come. And so we should be praying for people and ministering more than we are sitting up there talking about they get on my nerves. I wish they leave. You know, I don't like them. I can't stand it. We can't do all that. I can't stand it. That is not our assignment. And they may be getting on your entire nerves. And, you know, and I can show up and act up in myself. And I mean, you know, because I used to take no prisoners. If you came for me, I was coming back for you. And so that's kind of where I was. But I have learned over the years that I had to pray and pray for people. And even though they might be doing something against me, I still have that assignment to pray. I still have that assignment to, you know, to be a child of God more than trying to be in my flesh. And so sometimes we got to take the, like Michelle Obama always said, you got when they go low, you go high. We got to go high sometimes, and we got to understand that we are there for a reason. We are a beacon of light. The Bible says we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And so we can't lose our savor. We got to keep our savor going. We got to keep that salt going, that light going. So he said, Bible says, let my light so shine before men that they will see my good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. And that's what we should be doing, a place we should be living in. Yes, like Ms. Avery said, I've learned to let God fight my battles. Yeah, you got to let God fight the battles. We got to stop going in there like we're getting ready to be in the ring with Mike Tyson. We can't do that. We have to let God fight the battles. And we got to understand heaven is fighting for you. Heaven will fight for you. God will fight on your behalf. And if you just give him the glory and give him the praise, I remember I was going through some things on the job, and I mean, they was cutting up. And I told myself, you know what, I'm not going to keep fighting. They was doing all kinds of stuff to me. I mean, I felt like they was launching an attack. And I mean, they was cutting up. But I tell you, I put them scriptures up. I just started putting them scriptures. When they started cutting up, I go over to them scriptures and start reading. I just started reading the Bible. And I'm telling you, I saw more go out before they was going out the door. And I said, so God will fight for you, I'm telling you. And it was one, she was determined. I think she was sent there to remove me. That's what she, I felt like that was her assignment because she was trying to. That was what she was doing. But I just kept reading them scriptures. You know, I'll get that one that Psalm 30 says, that spread not thyself because evil doers be not envious of the workers of iniquity because evil will soon be cut off. That's a scripture thing. And I would quote the scripture in a minute. I'll get that scripture and go to quote in a minute. I said, because you know what? What you're not going to do is torture me. Now, that we're not going to do. So I would put the word on it. If you put the word on it. You got to let people torture you. Just put the word on it. Put the word of God on it and let the Lord handle it. So ain't no need you sitting up there being miserable every day, going on miserable, upset, frustrated, can't sleep, tired, and all that kind of stuff for somebody's foolishness. They say foolishness. And it depends on what's going on at their house, the reason why they're acting that way. And so we have got to learn to let God fight the battle. He can do it so much better than you. He really can. I'm telling you, he can. I'm a witness to that. And so I begin to let him do it. And I don't know how I got over there, but anyway, But anyway, let me get back to my point. But anyway, I was talking about the ark and all the wickedness going on. That's what I was talking about. So anyway, he said, make thee an ark. And this is in the 6th chapter, the 14th verse. It says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall not make in the ark. Room thou shalt make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof. Now, from this, they said that the ark was probably about 1.5 football fields. So we know what that looked like. You know, that's a lot. That's a big old thing. And it was probably 4 to 5 stories high, like building, you know, like a building. And so it was huge. And so it took him a year to build it. He was working on that, and then he was telling the people to repent because the flood is coming. Repent. And he kept telling them to repent. And so then as his grandfathers and great-great-great began to die, after the patriarchs died and after the last one died, which was Methuselah, it said that the flood of many waters would come. So the waters began to come. And I think I was taught that Methuselah's name meant the flood of many waters. And so, the many a flood of many waters. I think I was taught that, so that's where I think I'm getting that from. But anyway, so the flood began to come. So the flood was coming. So Moses had, and this is the thing, Moses had a big assignment because he had to get all the food together for all the animals. He had to get the food together for him and his family. He had to make sure there was enough water for them to drink. So all of this was going on. And he had to do that because they were going to be in there over almost a year. So he had all of that stuff to do. So they were gathering all of this stuff up. Then they had to get the animals together. And I believe Lord sent them animals on. So they had all of this to do, and it was specific. They had to have a male and female. So the birds, they had to have seven of them. The cattle, they had to have so much. Because after they got out of the ark, one of the first things, we had to have so many clean animals. Because when they got out of the ark, the first things that he did was make a sacrifice. Sacrifice unto the Lord. But I begin to think about Noah in that process and how he had to preach to his family. Because it wasn't nothing but his family, his family on the earth. And so he had to preach to his family. But God is getting ready to destroy the earth. I'm going down my throat. The flood is coming. The flood is coming. I don't know what that was. The flood is coming. He was preaching to the people and hitting and building that ark. Preaching to the people and building that ark. How many times have we been preaching to our family about God? And it seemed like they not listening at all. And so I just began to think about that because I thought, oh, my God, all those people that he was preaching to, those were his family members. And he was telling them it was coming, and they weren't paying him no attention. They were just going on doing what they do. And wasn't paying him no attention until they started going in there. They went in that ark, and they still had some time because they had to get the animals in and get everybody in. But once that door was shut, it was done. Today, God is calling for us to come on into his family, to come on in. Come on in. He's giving us time. The preachers are preaching. They doing altar calls and telling you that the time is coming, the time is coming. Because we act like it ain't, but the Bible is specific when it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall appear. Now, if we don't think no wickedness is in high places and wickedness going on, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. And I'm not saying the Lord's going to come back tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying whenever he comes back, we need to be ready. That's what I'm saying. We need to be ready to go back with the Lord when he comes back, whatever that is, even if he comes to get you before he cracks the sky, even if he comes to get you before the rapture takes, or we need to be rapture ready at all times. You got to be ready to go back with the Lord. Your family members, we're asking you to come to Christ, and you keep acting like you got time. But we don't know what time we got. We've been living in a pandemic. People been leaving. People been dying and going and doing all kind of stuff been going on. And I pray that those people that died were ready. I said, Lord, I hope they do. Are we ready? This is the question we all got to say. Are we really, really ready? Because if we got to remember now, at one point Jesus said, they said, Lord, have I not done this in your name? Have I not done? And Jesus said, I never did. I don't want him to say that to me. I want him to say, well done, my good faithful servant. But I want to be ready to go back when the Lord comes. That's what I want. And so I'm talking about this today, and this is what the Lord told me to do. He said, don't be like it was when Noah was, because when that door got shut, God knew the human side of Noah. And he knew that if those people would have been knocking on that door, talking about letting in, Noah would have opened that door. But God's virgins over in Matthew 25, where it talks about the virgins were coming, they were waiting on the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom came, there was five of them who didn't have enough oil to keep their lamps trimmed and burning bright. We have got to keep our lamps trimmed and burning bright. We got to have enough oil. We got to keep the oil flowing in our lives, as well as the Holy Ghost flowing in our lives, so that our lamps are trimmed and burning bright. We ain't got time to go back and get no oil to buy. We got to have it all ready to do. So we got to think about those things when we begin to think about life. It said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the Son of Man. We have to know the Word of God. The Word of God is our sword. It's just, I think Ephesians, let me see if I can find it, if I can quote it right. Something really went down my throat. Oh, wasn't no bus. It was a fly. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 6, which tells us that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it, you know, it pierces the devour. So, you know, that's what the word of God is for us. It's a weapon. It's our weapon. It's a weapon. The word was the only weapon given in that Ephesians scenario where it talks about the helmet and the shield and all of those things. And it gave the sword of the spirit. That's what it calls it, sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And that is our weapon. So you got to have, if you don't know it, you don't have no weapon. If you don't know what the word says. And you have to know what the word says to yourself. That's why Eve got deceived. I don't know what that was. I got tackled on myself. It was just a lot. That's what happened when Eve got deceived. We have got to have, right, you right, Sister Doctor? We got to have the oil. We got to have it. It is not. Cannot be running around here and don't have that oil. Does anybody on the line have a thing they want to say? I'm just sorry. I'm going. Well, I try to find these scriptures. You know what? I just done what I was laughing about the other day. Go for the front. I know where Ephesians is, but this is this big old Bible, so it's taking me a long time to find. But I know where Ephesians is. Where Ephesians is. This is a big Bible. This is a big Bible. It's a huge Bible because it's a, you know, I bought the large print. Yeah, here we go. So I had it right here. I said it wrong. So I can say exactly what it is. Anyway, it's in Ephesians. Oh, here it goes. Yeah, it says, okay, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what I want to say. So we got to have the word of God. We got to have the word of God. We need it. And so if there's anybody out there under the sound of my voice that does not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. We don't have time to keep waiting. Whenever you hear the clarion call for salvation, you ought to be on. You ought to be running saying, Lord, what must I do to be saved? We don't have time to keep waiting, so I'll wait till the next time. You don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what today holds. You don't know what the rest of the day holds. All we can testify about is what we've been through already this day. But what we have to do is be ready. So if you know somebody, like even with this video, if you know somebody that needs this word and you want to share this video, please share it. Share it to them. Spread the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're talking about the word of God. Spread the gospel. Use it as a tool to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So anyway, we're asking, if you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ. The Bible says over in the 10th chapter, it says, if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, he says, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. And so we just want to extend an invitation to you to accept Jesus as your Savior today. And if you pray this prayer with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner. And, Lord, I give my life to you. I believe that God has raised you from the dead. I believe that you have died on the cross for my sins. So, Lord, I ask you to save me and deliver me. And, Lord, I repent of my sins. And I sincerely give my heart to you today. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, please fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer with me and you were sincere in your heart, it's safe. And welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Hallelujah. We're so thankful for all the that we shared today, and we're going to be back here next week. So I got through 7. I hope I did. Yeah, I got through 7. And so we're going to be on 8, 9. And we might talk about that Tower of Babel next week, too. So we're going to do that. And so we're just walking through it. We're going to take our time and get through it. There's so much in Genesis. There's so much there. But if I was to think about the grief that Noah was going through once he got out of that ark, we have to think about that. When he stepped outside that ark, when he finds the God finally opened the doors, animals was nothing. And he probably may have even saw some carcasses of people. You know what I'm saying? So all of that. And so the first thing he done was when he came out of the ark, he began, we'll probably go into detail about this next week, he made a sacrifice. He sacrificed, he had three animals. So he built an altar and he sacrificed unto the Lord. Are you bringing an able sacrifice to the Lord or a Cain sacrifice? Remember that. What are you giving God? Are you giving him your best? What I want to leave us with today. We thank God for each and every one of you that joined us here on the call. We thank those. Thank you so much for all of you all that have been commenting. I thank God for each and every one of you. And we we're just thankful and ask you that you really be praying this week. Really be praying this week about our nation and what's going on there. So we don't want no more. We don't want no more death. We don't want no more drama. We don't want, you know, we need peace. We need peace, and we need a smooth transition. Like Bishop said this morning, it's God that takes the things up one and brings down another. This don't have nothing to do with us. This is God that has done this. And so we can keep hearing all the rhetoric and all the foolishness that people are saying and the different, you know, we got to pray for our fellow Christians. We really do. Some of the things that I have heard some of them say, and they're in leadership, it really has. And so it makes me want to say that some certainties that sold us. And so we got to pray for that because we don't want our brother. The Bible says if our brother be overtaken in the fall, he was just spiritual. And so we need to pray for our brothers and our sisters in Christ and ask God to touch their heart. Pray, glory to God. But we have heard some stuff. I just don't know what to think about. But anyway, it ain't for me to think about, but it is for me to pray about. And bless our peace, your presence to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. So let us keep them in prayer. Let us keep this nation in prayer. And let us please keep our president-elect and vice president-elect that are coming in prayer and all the cabinet members that they will have coming with them. Let's all pray for all our senators and our congressmen, because they've been through a great deal. So we need, you know, that was something. And so everybody's been through a great deal. Pray for the people that even were in that, involved in all that. We got to pray for people to change. That's what we're looking for. Because God is God and he is sovereign. And he's just letting the nations know that they are men and that he is God. And so we're so thankful for that. I love God and I'm so grateful. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless each and everyone under the sound of my voice. Touch their hearts and their minds. Bless them to have a blessed week, oh God. Cover them with your blood. Keep them safe. You are their refuge. You are their dwelling place. And, Lord, we ask you to continue to cover them and keep them in your blood, Father. We ask you, Lord, to bless people to make. Bless them to give, have what they need, Lord. If they need finance, if they need food, if they need clothing, if they need shelter, whatever it is they need, God. They need a job. Open up doors for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Hey, glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for keeping us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for joining me on the Prophets and Souls broadcast, and we will be back here next week on the Prophets and Souls broadcast. God bless you all.